Val French describes herself as a social activist. If things in society are wrong, she passionately believes you have to do your best to change them. Val, where did this belief come from?
Well, I suppose to begin with, it was inherited because most of my family, way back to the early days of the colony, were people who did fight to get justice or who fought to change their communities for the better. But I was born in a mental hospital. My dad was a psychiatrist, and my mother and he together worked for, or more or less some, the best part of half their lives to change the way mental hospitals were operated on. And I actually went round with my dad to all the rounds and to all the activities. He continued always to tell me, you know, what steps they were taking to change things, to make things better. Just as quick illustration, one of the wards, for instance, that I first went into when we first moved to Callan Park Mental Hospital in Sydney, there were 60 beds in that one ward. To go to the toilet, you had to climb out over the feet. There was one toilet that was open to everybody to look at, and many of the mentally ill who wet themselves, their bed stayed like that and stayed like that until they were washed about a month later. And I remember that distinctly because I was about 9, I guess. My dad said to me as we went outside, "I've shown you what human beings can do to each other." He said, "I'm changing this and you're going to watch and help."
That would have a profound effect on a child, Val. How did it affect you?
Well, it wasn't anything new. I mean, I'd been living in this environment ever since I was born, virtually. But in general, the whole thing, I guess, made me believe, watching things change, because he turned that whole hospital round. I guess what I learnt was that it is possible to change things. I learned that very early, that you can always change things for the better. And the words he used to me at the time were, "You only need to want to enough." And I have believed that passionately ever since.
So, Val, what did you want to change as a young woman and succeeded in doing?
Well, I guess when I first came to Queensland, the thing that I wanted to change most of all was the situation that women were in, because, you know, in those days, just following, you know, the Second World War, women were still very much second-class citizens, and they more or less sort of stayed at home, and that was that. And any chance to go to the university or even to get a proper good schooling was quite often denied young women. If you got married, obviously you were going to get the sack. You know, women really were second-class citizens. And I thought that, I guess when I came to Queensland, I thought, well, okay, the first thing we've got to do is change this.
And how did you set about doing that?
Well, one of the things that I did that probably did help more than anything else, I was very interested in debating when I was at school. And after I left school, when we came up here, women did not debate. It was a man's prerogative. There was one woman that did, so I joined with her, and Kevin Cairns, the politician, his wife, and I, we formed a debating team, and we joined the A-grade debaters. And we actually went ahead and we won the competition. Antonia and I always said there were 5, not 3, people in the team that we won, because we were both 9 months pregnant.
Oh.
And that really horrified everybody. I mean, not only were we getting up there and defeating male members of the debating teams, but we were also pregnant while we did it. Horrors upon horrors.
You weren't terminally ill people at all. You were just women who were pregnant.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So was it a club or was it at university, or where did this debating come from?
Oh, the debating was a debating union. It was made up of university students, political parties, other social organisations. And the first thing that Tonya and I did then was to set up an organisation called the Porsche Club, where we invited women to come along and join. And what we did was train these women to be very good debaters. educators and also to come with us into the girls' schools. And we introduced girls' school debating. When they were proficient, we took them to debate in the competition against the boys, and we were thrilled to bits when the girls started to beat the boys.
I can imagine. I certainly can imagine that. But Val, you're a well-educated woman, and in those days, I'm talking about the, dare I say it, the 60s, in the 60s, there weren't as many.
Actually, that was the 50s, not the 60s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So there were even fewer women.
There were fewer women then, yes.
Finishing primary school, let alone high school.
That's very true.
So do you think there were a lot of women you couldn't reach because they would have felt inferior to your standing?
Oh, I don't think so. We women did join us. And they came from all walks of life and all levels of education. And one of the good things that came out of that was that we were able to give them the opportunity to go to university, because once they became a debater and once they started to develop their skills and get self-confident, then they moved further, you know, into adult education. And we gradually were building up a change to the whole environment of women.
Right. So, and now where did your education take you? You became
journalist. I became a journalist simply for the same reason that I gave before. It was a good way to learn to change things. I've always believed passionately in the power of the press. Sometimes I very get cranky about the media today, because instead of being unbiased and always looking at both sides, you know, we tend today to have newspapers that are politically motivated. In those days, that didn't happen. What you were doing, you were using the media and working with the media to put over stories and to assist to bring women out of the closet and to give them a feeling of self-confidence that they could go and do things.
Right. So where do you think this change came from?
Well, actually, I think one of the things that once we got girls debating in schools, then it became quite a different kettle of fish. You had girls getting self-confident, girls believing they could go to the university. When I took up the position of lecturer at QIT, for instance, where I designed the journalism course and taught it for many, many years, the first intake had a lot of girls in it. And this was fantastic, because it meant that we were giving girls the opportunity to move into a field, journalism, which generally speaking had been more or less barred for women. You could be a social person and do social news, but you really had to fight very hard to be a real journalist.
Someone who wrote very, very serious stories.
Yes, political stories and news stories. The women's sort of stories. Mm. Were, you know, more what they wanted women to do. And the first lot of girls that I actually took through to graduation, I actually took them around Queensland, introduced them to the journalism schools, to the newspapers and to the TV and radio, and asked them, could they please keep them for the period of their school, of the university holidays, and let them work as if they were a journalist, give them the opportunity. And the men would said, no, we can't do that. You couldn't have a woman doing that. And I pleaded with them. They said, well, all right, we'll give it a go. And what happened was that when those girls graduated, those newspapers, etc., actually rang me and said, can we have one of your girls as they graduate? And I said, why? I thought you said you only wanted blokes. No, they said, the girls are far more reliable. Wow. And from that time on, we had no trouble getting girls placed right across Australia.
Yeah, and this was a very exciting time politically in our country too.
It was.
We're talking the 60s and 70s now.
70s now, 70s. We're talking about, yes.
Yeah.
And it was a very exciting time. And it was a time of change. It was time, you know, it was a marvellous time, really. We put on a very big, I guess you would call it a conference called Women in the Media. And it was really an exciting sort of thing. Never, ever, ever in Australia had there been a conference on women in the media. And it really shocked everybody to suddenly realise that we had come of age and that we were people that could speak out, that were people who could equal any man as a journalist. And I have got, you know, plenty of graduates all over, not only in Australia, but I'm always so proud when I hear them overseas, you know, doing stories in America on the election and, you know, in England on this or on the different sports and all that sort of thing. You just look back and you think, great, we made it.
Yes.
You know?
Val, how does older people speak out actually make a difference?
Well, I guess the main thing we do is we go out and we talk to people. We talk to older people. Some people would say that what we're doing is consulting them, and I guess that would be pretty right. We ask them to come along and, first of all, in a group, tell us what they think is wrong in their community, what they would like, what should be changed. And then the next section is simply, all right, tell us what you think should be done. And then once we've got that, we either try and do something about it ourselves locally, or we take to government the solutions. And then we keep lobbying to get these solutions. One would be, of course, the pension, the single pension. That had to be increased, and we certainly were, you know, helped to identify that, and then we were actually on the committees that actually introduced the changes. The same thing applies to nursing homes, to retirement villages, you know, to most to housing. We've always had go out, find out what people want, and then try and bring about the change. At the moment, one of the things that we're really passionately involved in is trying to help change the attitude of business to older people. We're working to make sure that older people get a fair go in the workplace.
Val, you've described yourself as a social activist, and I can certainly see why. Thank you for all you've done. And thank you for what you're going to continue to do. And most of all, thank you for your time today.
It's been a pleasure.